Welcome to episode 8 of the Worship Drummer Podcast. I'm your host, John Manna. Stick around, we've got a great episode coming your way. A big hello to our Worship Drummer family. I know it's been a couple of months now, I think since June, mid-June, since we last released an episode. And we've had a great summer. Hope you guys have been blessed as well. By the way, summer is in the context of North America. I have a sister in Australia, and I understand that the seasons are different. So with that being said, we're so excited today to release this episode featuring my good friend Jared Henderson. Jared plays drums for Desperation Band in Colorado, and also he works at New Life Church there, and he's been there for several years. Been doing a great job. Love the heart of their ministry and love his heart. And I'm so excited to launch in September with Jared, because what he's going to share is absolutely going to help you in what you do as a drummer, as a worship drummer especially. And we're going to talk about how to give your best no matter what. How to give your best no matter what. And also with that, we'll touch upon obviously the local context, what you do almost every weekend playing in your church, but also in the context of playing for other worship leaders or other artists or ministries or whatever you might find yourself doing that is not your typical deal. And so Jared, I'll talk about it in the podcast with him, but really the inspiration for this theme for this episode came two summers ago when Jared was here in Toronto, and he messaged me and said, "Hey, I'm playing for Carrie Jobe. I'm filling in." Did a great job because Austin Davis is the man and we know his stuff, and he plays drums for Carrie Jobe normally. But so Jared was filling in and he did a phenomenal job as well. And so I was like, "Hey man, it's such a cool idea." He actually came up with the topic, not me. So I take zero credit for that one. But Jared just said, "Hey, it would be really cool to talk about this and kind of share my experience that I've had with Carrie and other artists, and also the experience of being in a church culture that is continually raising up new leaders." And so you might want to share this episode also with your worship leaders. We'll talk about what to do with drummers if you're that guy who shows up unprepared, shows up late. Jared also shares with us his strategy for learning new songs, new parts, as he plays with different artists on occasion. And really just excited to get this episode your way. I'm honestly, I've missed you guys over the summer, and I'm just here with my cup of coffee. I just posted a picture to Instagram, and it's one of our mugs. And so, hold on a second. There we go. I get my Americano on. And so, we're just so happy to know that September is here. We purposed way back in February when we first launched the Worship Drummer Podcast, I purposed to launch 12 episodes. So basically one episode a month. And so what I did, I realized, is in the first 4 months, I pushed 7 episodes out. And I said, "You know what? That's not too bad. We'll take 3 months off and we'll come back in September." And so here we are. We've got some other great episodes already recorded, a few already coming down the pipe. And honestly, I just want to say that you guys are awesome. Thank you for your support, your encouragement. And honestly, my heart behind it all is that we just want to resource our drummers, our local church drummers globally. And so thank you guys for all you do to encourage me to continue doing what we're doing. And so with that being said, and without taking up any more airtime, you can tell I've missed you guys. I'm just talking away here. So we're going to get straight to the interview with Jared Henderson as we talk about how to give your best no matter what. Jared, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks. Excited to be here.
For sure, man. We're happy to have you. So as we dive into this topic, it's important to note that this was actually Jared's idea of a topic, and he's a brilliant thinker. And so We're looking forward to hearing what you have to say. So let's just jump right in. Tell us a bit about your experience. Firstly, maybe go back to last year in July when we hooked up here in Toronto.
Yeah, that was, in Toronto. I can't remember the name of the thing we were playing at, but I happened to actually be out on tour with Carrie Jobe for a couple weeks, and I'm not her normal drummer. Her normal drummer is a guy named Austin Davis, who's just amazing, really fun to watch, really creative, great drummer. Him and his wife were having a baby actually during that tour, and so they asked me to come sit in for a few weeks. I was really honored to get that call. Means a lot when somebody calls you to come in and sit for, especially for a longtime drummer for their band like that, like Austin is.
For sure, man.
Yeah.
So, we're going to talk about your experience with artists, but I guess before we get to that, can you speak to us on the idea of giving your best? Like, what does that look like for you in what you do with Desperation Band? By the way, Jared plays drums for Desperation Band, and he's on staff as well at New Life Church in Colorado. And so just give us a brief overview of what that means to you, bringing your best no matter what and no matter who you're playing for.
Yeah. The idea for that article that we originally were talking about came from, you were kind of saying maybe we could talk about just what it's like to sit in for a guest worship leader or somebody like Carrie or a few other people I've sat in for. And to me, the idea was kind of like, well, there's some extra pressure maybe that comes with that. But as far as preparation, it's not really any different than how I think about maybe a Sunday morning here at New Life, or if I'm playing for a Friday night or one of our other campuses. The idea is no matter who you're playing for or where you're playing at, you always want to bring your best. And a lot of that comes with kind of just that servant mentality of being not only, I think most great musicians have that kind of attitude. They want to show up and bring whatever the song needs, whatever the artist needs. But it also really has to do with our calling as worship leaders and worship musicians, that we're there to really serve and always not only honor God with our playing, but honor the people around us, the people that we're with and the people that we're playing for.
Wow.
And I think like growing up in church, you know, playing week in and week out really is what contributed to that sort of mentality for me. And maybe it just came naturally, but I just thought it didn't matter if I was just playing for our middle school group, quote unquote, just playing for that, or, you know, or if I was going to be playing for Sunday morning or something that was maybe a little more high profile. I always wanted everyone to leave feeling like, wow, Jared just really gave it his all. We only played two songs and there was 10 kids here, but, you know, he brought his best.
Wow. And it's really, when we talk about worship drumming, obviously, the difference between just being a secular drummer, we're not just playing for people, but we're ministering to God as well. But
sure.
How do we play for people in worship? Because it's a reality that there are other people in the room, and what you bring to the table affects the atmosphere, it affects worship. So how do you contribute in that sense to those who are in attendance?
Yeah, it's such a great topic, because I think sometimes we shy away from actually just admitting that we do influence what's going on. You know, we want to be invisible, but honestly, what we're doing on stage really, it does contribute, and it can help direct people, direct their eyes away from us and to God. And I have so many worship experiences where that's actually happened, where I've been in the crowd and somebody, a guest worship leader's there or a guest musician, and everybody carries kind of their own thing in a small way that it just looks and smells and tastes differently. And like sometimes somebody will bring something that just really ministers to you in a specific way.
Hmm.
Whether it's a voice or the way they're like emoting on their instrument, you know, the way they communicate melodically or rhythmically, or even just a stage presence, their personal focus on God or the way that they're expressing on stage. I've experienced that stuff ministering to me. So I try to think about that intentionally before I play. It's not just getting up and playing all the notes correctly or looking happy for this song and looking pensive for this song. Like I try to really be present for each moment of the worship set. And so, and emotion does play a big deal. I think it's okay to admit that. It is, and we try to really emphasize that here at New Life too. Like worship is very doctrinal and theological, in the lyrics that we write and all those things, but it also is connected to our emotions.
Wow. No, that's huge. That's deep.
So I try to be really present emotionally, honestly. Like, think about the lyrics. Think about what the words and melodies are communicating. How can you tie in your playing to that? Do you need to be intense in this moment and really gentle in this moment? And I think that makes for a really dynamic experience.
Wow, yeah. For sure. And so for the developing worship drummer who's kind of maybe newer at all of this, and, you know, in their mind, they're probably preoccupied with the components of the song,
yeah,
the progression and the dynamics. And how do we transition from, you know, from the technical aspect of the song to now thinking, okay, what kind of emotion is this conveying? And yeah, like, how does that happen?
Yeah. I'm so glad you asked that. I actually think about this a lot, and I think it's where practice and preparation just play such a massive role, because drumming in particular, it is a very technical thing. There's a lot of muscle memory involved, a lot of the four-way coordination, you know, just all the things that go into a great drumming part. It takes a lot of work to get all that locked in really tight.
Yeah.
And if you haven't put in the work before you're on stage, you're really spending most of the time on stage just doing that work. It's all about the technical work, trying to make all those pieces fit together. But if you spent a bunch of time in your practice room getting all that locked in, it really frees up all this mental space. You know, you only have like so much capacity that your brain can operate on. When you've done all the preparation beforehand, the muscle memory's there, the parts are memorized. To me, that frees up this whole percentage of your brain to be really present with what's going on in the room or with what's going on with the song, and even to be able to improvise maybe around parts that you've already practiced.
Wow.
Because you've got the foundational stuff really locked in. And I saw a great drummer, Benny Greb. I'm sure you've heard of him, John.
Yeah, yeah.
He was talking about that idea of practicing and getting all those things locked in. And like when you're on stage, maybe at a concert in his case, or for us at a worship night, there's all these external factors that are kind of coming in and interfering with like your playing, like what the lights are doing, or a person you notice over in the side of the room, or if the guitar player is getting off beat a little bit. That stuff is always going to be taking place when you're on stage. So to have all the technical aspects locked in beforehand, it's super important. And I think that's how you begin to transition from just being able to pull the parts off to being able to express and emote and communicate with your instrument. And I think like maybe it is talked about a lot, but maybe it's not talked about. It is just like the hard work and kind of the sweating it out, you know, in your practice room, like really, really getting after the excellence thing behind closed doors.
Wow. To touch on that for a minute, do you have any practical systematic things that you do when you have to learn a certain set for a certain, either an artist or even for your church?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the song. You know, some songs are more complicated than others. Some are, you know, they kind of fall. Like everybody has their wheelhouse. There's certain kind of things that I can do really well that when I hear a certain song, it's like, oh yeah, I have that. And then there's other things that fall outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
So for a song with, you know, like that maybe isn't in my comfort zone, like I have a few practical steps. The number one step is to listen, really listen to the song, because I think we have the tendency to maybe put the headphones on, pick up our drumsticks, we start listening, we just start playing and going for it, for what we can hear. A lot of times what happens there, though, is that really drowns out like the parts that are actually happening. And you're going to immediately put your natural tendencies over that song and maybe miss out on some really cool nuances that the original drummer did on the song that can influence your playing. So number one is really listen. Give the song 3 or 4 listens without playing at all. And always take notes too. For me, like if I listen and write it down, it gets really glued into my memory pretty quick. And then I'll just start playing to the song. So maybe do a few passes of like actually trying to make sure I can nail all the parts really tight along with the music.
Yeah.
That also is getting the song locked into your head more. And then I always like to turn off the song and just play it to click. And that, again, it gets rid of all the little things like subdivision and electric guitars and loops and things that can sometimes trick us into thinking we're playing the song well.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, because if you have headphones and especially and you don't have great like monitoring at your home setup or wherever you're practicing, you know, you can actually get convinced that you're playing it better than you are. So when you strip all that away and you just have you and the click, it tests a few things. It tests how tight you're actually playing to the click, because then you can hear all of the stuff you're doing. And it also tests really how well you've memorized the song. Have you totally gotten the song into you as far as the map? Good enough that you can play it with no other inspiration besides a click track and play it from front to back, you know, without any help. And to me, that like really sets you up as a drummer to be able to lead that song dynamically. And I think, you know, drums, they're such a powerful, loud instrument that we really have that responsibility. And if the song and if the parts are in you so well that you don't need to rely on any other cues other than what's in your brain, you can really lead the song well, I think.
Wow. That's so, so crazy. I love how you pay attention to the details and you're doing the time and the results show.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking, guys, from experience, because I've seen Jared play on more than one occasion live, and he backs up what he's saying now by his playing. So
thank you.
I love the whole concept of doing the time, like putting in the hard work before.
Yeah.
And actually, maybe we can talk a bit about the difference between practice and rehearsal.
Yeah, definitely. And one note I wanted to say about that whole little thing I just walked through is like,
yeah,
I mean, if you really dive into that, you could narrow that practice time down to maybe 20 minutes on a song. And that seems like a long time, but those 20 minutes, like the payoff from that, it's exponential. It doesn't just affect your ability to play that song. You're actually putting in time where you're just working on grooves and fills and all these different things. And you're also getting the payoff of learning a song really well and being able to show up either at your church or with your band, whatever, like being the guy who's just so prepared and knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And to that end, if you're a worship drummer and you're listening to this and you've just kind of been winging it on Sundays and you just show up to maybe your rehearsal without practicing, let this be a challenge to you. We commission you, worship drummers who are listening, make this a daily habit. And if not daily, then at least weekly, at least before your rehearsal, make sure that you're doing the time. The impact is way beyond just you. It affects the team and it affects what we're trying to do in terms of leading people to God's throne in worship and eliminating distractions. So with that being said, do you want to touch on the difference between practice and rehearsal?
Sure, yeah. I think, well, like here at New Life, we have a Thursday night rehearsal every week. And we do really emphasize that, like, that's the time where we get to play the songs together.
Yeah.
It's the time where me as the drummer, I don't show up and go, All right, let me listen through this track really quick and see if I can play this groove and kind of get it tight, you know? That's practicing, and practicing is what you do at home. Rehearsing, you show up with the entire band. You guys have all pretty much got the parts down, and you're going to just work on it together. And rehearsing a song, if you've all practiced, you know, that takes however long the song is, maybe once or twice through, you're done. And it's just kind of dialing in those fine details and sort of gluing the band together. But you could waste a whole bunch of time if you haven't practiced those songs. And that's, earlier I was talking about just honoring, you know, the other musicians, the worship leaders, showing up, like having already practiced. It's a huge way to honor people's time.
Absolutely.
Which is a huge, it's something that I just have a high value on.
Yeah. So guys listening, don't be that drummer. Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Advice was that?
Well, I just know it's hard. I'm more to the point in my life now where, like, I used to have more time to just rehearse or practice for hours on my own.
Yeah.
And I'm more to the point in my life now where I understand it's just not always that way. So I always try to find little ways to kind of keep fresh. Like, if I can grab 15 minutes in the morning, I have a little routine that I do. It's like 3 minutes on each tempo, and I'll spend 15 minutes and get through like five tempos on a practice pad doing rudiments. And it just kind of keeps my hands fresh when I'm not getting much time to rehearse on the full drum set. So there's like little ways that you can kind of just keep up with your craft without having to be a musician who gets to spend 4 or 5 hours a day rehearsing.
Nice. And actually, in terms of learning parts, had a great conversation with Josh Ward. And one of the things that we were talking about was you can actually, this is more, I guess, if you're an amateur or more advanced drummer, you can actually visually watch a drummer play. And if you have good camera angles, especially, it's even easier. But you can just watch and kind of get, okay, this is how to play the song without actually having to sit at your kit.
Yeah.
So that's a side note, because just the same with me, I'm a busy guy, don't have a ton of time to sit around at home on my kit. We have two young children, and they sleep, you know, on different schedules and all that. So to play is not practical. But if I watch, I can emulate it pretty well when I actually do sit behind the kit. So that's a side bonus tip for anyone out there who's too busy. I had another question now and I can't remember, but that's okay.
Yeah.
This is what it was. For any worship leaders listening, because we never know which worship leaders might tune into this episode, but Jared, do you have any advice for the worship leader who is struggling with their drummer who shows up unprepared? Any tips, any advice, even just practical things they can talk to them about?
That's a tricky one. I think the first thing is maybe just open, honest conversation about it. That can be a really hard thing to do. I think oftentimes what happens is we have all these thoughts rolling around our head about maybe a musician we're working with, and we kind of expect that they know they should show up prepared, or they know that they should play the parts these ways.
Yeah.
And one of my roles here at New Life is to help communicate expectations with our musicians. I had to really learn over the last year, really, like, people can't read your mind. They may not have the background that you have that would inform you, like, you need to show up prepared. So the number one is just communicate expectations. And I think you kind of have to communicate that with your whole team to help establish a culture of showing up prepared. If that's not a part of your church's life, then people don't understand that necessarily. And they may be thinking that they are showing up doing a great job. Rehearsal might mean something different to them. So yeah, communicate expectations. And then I think maybe some of these concepts that we're even talking about, like the why behind those expectations. Why is it important to show up prepared? What does that do for you? What does that do for the team? What does that do for Sunday mornings? And then at that point, it's just kind of about holding that line. You know, if the culture is, hey, we show up prepared, and somebody's not doing that, you have to have those conversations continually, maybe set up some goals for somebody to meet, you know?
Yeah. That's some great practical advice. And just in thinking about that, worship leaders, if you do struggle with that and you're listening to this, know that just take this advice from Jared and just share the heart. I think that Jared hit it right on the nail. When you share the heart and the why behind it, then the how becomes a non-negotiable, because you say, I know why now. I have to do it. It's important because. And so thanks, Jared, for sharing that.
Yeah.
Let's transition a little bit more towards the idea. We've been talking a lot about bringing your best and how to get to that level. But let's touch on the no matter who you're playing for.
Sure.
No doubt, I'm sure when you get a call for a bigger artist, there's this new excitement that comes with it, as opposed to, you know, just playing at your church, something that you do weekly. So sure. can you talk to us about your preparation, but more so of your attitude? So you want to give your best no matter who you're playing for. So just share with us about that.
Yeah, you cut out just a little bit there. Sorry.
No worries. Yeah, just share with us more so about the attitude behind, you know, your approach to bringing your best, but no matter who you're playing for.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, and you were mentioning like there's kind of a new excitement, or it'd be silly to deny the fact that it is different, a little different to play on a Sunday morning where I've played, you know, every week for the last however many years, than to go out on tour with an artist. So there is a different sort of level there. But I guess the attitude of like bringing your best no matter who you're playing for, there's like many layers to that. We've talked a little bit about honoring God, you know, with bringing your best. There's that saying, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Mm.
Really applies to this. There's honoring the people you're with. And then there's just like, kind of determining like what kind of person you're going to be. So there's like a little bit of it is just honoring yourself and having the character to not show up and be excellent for one person and a little bit haphazard for another person.
Right.
Like I think people who have that reputation, they're the kind of people who work a lot. And I know a lot of what we're talking about is church. It's not doing this as a, maybe a career or being a part of the industry, but like for me here at New Life, I wanted to play all the time. I just loved playing drums. I loved worship. And so I wanted to have the kind of reputation, even just here, that people knew what they were going to get. If they had me come play for a service,
yeah,
I wanted to be a consistent man, you know, just a faithful guy here at church who they knew that they could rely on me. And that's, you know, that's where that mindset really came from. So like even here at New Life, we have a lot of different skill levels going on, with our worship leaders.
Yep.
We have guys like John Egan or Glenn Packiam who have been leading worship for years, brilliant songwriters. You know, they've led a lot of worship. And then we have younger kids, even down into their teens, who are leading worship for our younger services. And there's times where I actually play for them too.
Wow.
And so I love to be able to me, it's just kind of an honor thing. It's a character thing to be able to play as good for either of those ends of the spectrum. And so then I think what I've seen happen is that actually carried beyond the walls of New Life. I didn't ever plan that for that to happen.
Wow.
Right. What I planned was I want to do great this Sunday for, it was called JV Tag. That was our middle school group. You know, that was as far as I saw, but then I think that what happens with character is, people hear about it, good or bad. And so I think, for instance, when I've gotten calls to go out and play for other artists, it's because that reputation maybe has maybe has gone outside of these walls. It's, it feels a little funny to talk about, you know, because it's talking about myself, but
yeah,
it's how I have players, honestly. And as I've gotten to do more work with other musicians and, do recordings and stuff, that's how it happens. People who are consistent and they show up on time and they care, they're the ones who work. Or if it's a church situation, they're the ones who play on Sunday mornings and are like faithful members of the team.
Wow. I guess it's the whole idea of be faithful with little and God will entrust you with much.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like that has really, to me, that's proven true in my own life. And I don't consider myself to have had any kind of illustrious career or anything. I think I'm still really young at this whole thing, but I'm so grateful to have seen that really be true for me. I feel like I've been faithful with those little things, and then wow, seeing new doors open that I just never even really thought would happen.
That's so cool, man. Yeah. I love how God is faithful, and He takes note of all the little things, the little details.
Yeah.
The things that no one sees. Like, you know, wow, Jared Henderson, we see you with Desperation Band, but we don't see you playing in junior high ministry.
Sure.
You know, so I think that's just like God to take note of those kind of things, see the character, see the humility, see the heart behind it, and then put a stamp of approval on it. And you don't have to go fishing, you know, for gigs or worship concerts or whatever. But like you said, people will know, and your name gets passed around in a good way.
I hope.
And yeah. And so, it's so cool just to see that even firsthand for me, as I've watched you through the last, almost 4 years now.
Yeah. It's so cool.
And by the way, in case, I don't know if anyone knows this out there, but Jared first, how we connected was Jared found our website. At the time, we were worshipdrummer.ca. Correct me if I err on any of this.
Yeah.
And I remember getting an email through the contact page just saying, hey, this is Jared. I play drums for Desperation Band. Love what you guys are doing. And if I can be of any help, let me know. Something similar to that. And for me, like, this was like, what? How in the world did someone like, you know, Jared take note of a little worship blog that started in a basement apartment?
It's so cool. I really love what you're doing. I appreciate your heart. And I think, you know, so many conversations that we've had over the last few years have really revealed like your passion to just help guys learn and grow and be a resource. And that's just so amazing.
Appreciate that, man. I had another question before we wrapped up, but it slipped my mind because I need some more coffee.
Oh yeah, that's okay. I had one other thing I was going to say there. I think when you were just talking about serving.
Yeah, go ahead, you know, man.
Just in the faithful and small things. It's just such an amazing thing that however many guys listen to this, I know there's so many that are at small churches, some at big churches, just all across the spectrum that are doing this awesome thing of giving your time to leading worship. And it's such a powerful thing that we do. Even if we're in a church with small resources, beat up drum sets, you know, maybe inexperienced musicians, the whole thing. It's just beautiful. I think people giving to this thing and calling people to encounter God through music. I become aware of it every once in a while. I'm having these kind of conversations. Just remember how broad and awesome it is, this community of guys who are doing this.
Wow. Very deep thoughts, bro. Yeah, no, and you're bang on. Last question. It's a bit more, it's non-spiritual, I guess, to transition from what we were just talking on. But I didn't know this, but you have a pretty cool YouTube page.
Oh, yeah.
And since we're talking about bringing your best no matter who you're playing for, I would see how it would fit in. I honestly, I just came across it like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, he's got some amazing videos of you playing. Now, is that your home studio?
Yeah, that is. It's a little room in my basement. And over the last few years, I've gotten just a lot more passionate about recording. I've had a little bit more opportunities to do sessions with different people. And it turns out I love engineering and recording drums. So
wow.
I've been slowly just kind of building up that setup. Originally, it was because, well, originally what happened was when I started doing worship artistry, I did that for about a year. I had to learn how to record myself. Everything before that was a good engineer recording me. So it was mostly about the playing aspect, not about the engineering. So for a year, I had to record myself and mix these tracks for worship artistry. And I just really fell in love with it, like the technical aspect of it and mixing. Sure. And so since then, I've been just slowly building up my own little collection. And I do little remote recording for people if they need that. And then a lot of it's just for fun, too, just to kind of work on the craft of recording. I would love someday if I was doing a lot of those remote sessions, though.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. Like, my wife's like, it's time for bed. I'm like, well, hold on. He's got a couple of more videos.
Oh, thanks.
And I didn't know that. Even you had some concert footage too, right?
Yeah. That was from like when we were traveling quite a bit a few years ago with Desperation Band. I would just bring a GoPro and set those up. For me, it was like just to remember it.
Yeah.
And then it turns out people, like you were talking about earlier, it's really helpful to watch people play. It turns out people enjoyed watching it and just getting a little bit of that drummer's perspective on what's going on stage.
Totally cool. I love it. Jared, thanks so much for hanging with us.
Yes, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you, John.
And we appreciate you and everything you do for the Worship Drummer family. Real quick, as we close, how can we follow you on social media?
Oh, yeah. I think my handle on pretty much everything is at Jared M. Henderson. J-A-R-E-D, M as in Matthew, and then Henderson.
Well, that's a wrap for our episode with Jared Henderson, and we hope that you've enjoyed this episode as we talked about how to give your best no matter what. And if you want, we're going to put some links in the show notes, so you can head to worshipdrummer.com/podcast and just scroll down to episode 8. The link will be right there to the show notes. We also have some pictures from the most recent Desperation conference that Jared sent us. And so you'll get to see what his setup looked like, and you'll get to see some shots of him in action. And as always, we just thank you for always sharing the links for our podcast. And it really helps get the word out and to let other drummers know that we are a resource, and we just want to equip and encourage worship drummers all over the world. Also, if you want to head into iTunes, you can always give it a star rating and write a review, which will help us get more visibility when people are browsing in the podcast section of iTunes. And so we also appreciate those of you who've taken the time to rate and review it. So guys, thanks so much. By the way, if anyone is interested in getting that mug, God Coffee Drums, you can easily go to worshipdrummer.com/shop. And you can find some cups and mugs and other items like t-shirts that we have available there. And so thanks so much, guys. We pray that you're blessed by our time with Jared. And of course, always remember, put the heart before the beat.